Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight and serve the God of gods. I'm thankful to be acquainted with the land of Beulah and have tasted of the river of life. And the Lord wants everybody here tonight to do the same. I have a message tonight from the Lord that I would that all of us, including myself, would listen to and consider and follow. I'd like to start in the 5th chapter of Luke. If you have your Bibles, you can read with me. And we'll start in the first verse and we'll read the first 11 verses. It said, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from thenceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him." And we'll get to that. So this account starts with a couple of empty boats, starts with some nets that were empty of fish, and a couple tired fishermen that had toiled all night without the master and had caught nothing. Well, they had caught something. That's the reason why they were cleaning their nets. They were cleaning their nets because they had caught the undesirables. They had been out fishing and they didn't catch what they wanted to catch. And I just felt like the Lord just really impressed this upon me. Said they caught nothing. They caught nothing that they wanted to catch. But there was a reason that they were cleaning. Because they did catch something. They caught the undesirables. I don't know what all was in the water. Maybe some grass that they didn't want that to stay in. Seaweed. Maybe some broken bottles. I don't know if they had bottles back then. Maybe they did. Maybe they caught some trash that somebody else didn't want anymore. They caught that. Maybe they caught some things that were unexpected. They didn't know they were going to catch them. But they caught them. They were out there and threw their net, didn't have the master with them. And when they pulled their nets, and oh my goodness, I didn't know I was going to catch that. I've got to clean that up. Maybe there were some alive things in their net. I didn't say there wasn't. They just weren't fish. Maybe they caught some live organisms that immersed themselves into their net. And if they left them there, it'd just start to eat away at their net. So they were cleaning up the undesirables from the net that they had thrown into the lake while they were fishing without the master. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? And I wonder how many times we toil through life without the master, seeking fulfillment, seeking to find that which satisfies, only to find ourselves left cleaning up after ourselves. cleaning the undesirables out of our lives, cleaning up the things that were unexpected, that we didn't expect to catch out there when we went out. Oh, we were full of hope, full of promise, looked like a perfect day to catch what we were looking for. But at the end of the day, cleaning up after ourselves again. Regrets, maybe some addictions, disappointments, broken friendships, hurt relations, fear, emptiness. How do you clean up emptiness? I don't know how you clean up emptiness except for one way. I'm so glad that the story didn't end here. See, the story went on, and it said when he had left speaking unto Simon, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon said, Master, we've been toiling all night long, and we haven't caught anything. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do it. And I notice here that Peter expressed doubt, but it did not hinder him in being willing and obedient to the voice of the Master. And the words of the Master brought with it some direction. He said, Simon, launch out into the deep. And probably preach a message on this, but I thought about the word launch. You know, to me, that's directional. Launch. That means it's going to go into a certain direction. It's not wander around a while and just, let's just go see where your boat ends up and we'll throw the nest. But it was launch. There's purpose. There was some commitment on where they were going. And he told them where to go. Go into the deep. And then he said, cast your nets, and he had a promise with it, for a draught. And because they were willing and obedient, even though they were tired, and they didn't understand how anything could be different from what it was through the night, except that the Lord said, do it. They did it anyway, and that's the reason why the miracle was performed. There was performed. Here's my message to you tonight, and it's to me too. Let's pull anchor and let's launch out into the spiritual deep. That's where the fish are. That's where life is. That's where there is that to be caught. Let's stop fishing in shallow waters. Let's stop. And I'm not saying everybody is, but too many people are spiritually dabbling in shallow waters. Part-time discipleship. Too much being a spectator and not enough being an active participant. The Lord wants us to launch out into the deep with His presence. See, that was one of the differences. He went with them this time. Sometimes we try to launch out into deep waters without the Master. We think they're deep waters. That's where the fulfillment of the Lord is. The fulfillment of the Lord can only be found when we push away from the shoreline of self and sin, the shoreline of the masses, the shoreline of where all the people clamor and tell us, well, this is a safe place and this is a good place for you to be, and you ought to be okay here. The Lord has some direction for you tonight. I don't know where you stand tonight. This message is to everyone. If you're a sinner tonight, if you're a backslider, if you're a neglecter, if you're a Christian, this message is to all of you, and it's to me. I feel challenged by it. The Lord's direction is, Rod, be willing to launch out into the deep with me. And I want to say, here am I, Lord, I'll go. I'm a little afraid, don't know what it means, but I'm willing. Lord, I'm going to go. I'm going to launch out into the deep, not the shallow. It's the deep where the fish, the big fish, are caught. And that's where the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be committed. He doesn't want us to have a partial in, partial out relationship with Him. Well, that's what the shallow water, I mean, you dabble around, step up on the shore when you want to, get back out in the water when it's convenient. Well, a lot of people out in the water, you can get out with them. And when you're kind of alone and people are going back in, you can step up on the shore. Or maybe you just hang out in the shallow water. Be willing, young people, when you're making decisions for life, be willing to forsake the partial in, partial out experience. There's no fulfillment there. Don't go that way. You can't serve two masters. It doesn't work. There's a reason why we believe and practice full immersion baptism. See? It's because it's a complete dying out to the old man so that we can be raised anew with the new man. And the Lord isn't looking for us when it comes time to be baptized. Can you imagine if somebody was getting ready to be baptized and they said, just a second, tell you what, I want to be baptized, but when I go down, I want my hand to still be up above the water. My left hand. I'm okay with my right hand going down and everything else, but I want my left hand above water. Or maybe they say, you know, my little toe is really important to me and I don't want it to get wet. So I'm going to lift my left foot up and make sure it hangs out under the water. But you can dunk everything else. Can you imagine somebody standing there with one leg and one leg up and it doesn't work? And yet people try to do it all the time. They try to figure out how to be baptized into the Lord just part way. And then they're not satisfied with the experience. And I wonder why. It doesn't work. There isn't fulfillment there. Don't be like Joash. Have you read that story recently? Do you remember King Joash? I remember Brother Bob preached a message and it really struck with me in Guthrie a couple years ago. Elisha was getting ready to die. It's in the 13th chapter of 2 Kings. Elisha was, and I'm going to paraphrase it if you'll allow me. Elisha was getting ready to die, and King Joash, he was concerned. He was the king of Israel. And he came to Elisha and he was crying and he said, well, he was worried about the future. And Elisha said, get your bow and your arrow. And he got his bow. And now listen how this comes. Maybe we should just turn there. 2 Kings, the 13th chapter. He said, get your bow and your arrow. And so he got his bow and his arrow. And he said, open the window that faced to the east. And he opened the window that faced to the east. And he put your hand upon the bow. And he put his hand on the bow. And he said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, this is the arrow of deliverance. There's an expected end for you against your enemies, the Syrians. This is the arrow of deliverance. This is the answer right here. And then he said, now take your arrows and smite them upon the ground. So Joash took his arrows and the scripture says that he smote on the ground three times. And then he said he stayed. He stopped. And you know what it said? You remember what it said? It said, the man of God was wroth. He said, because you should have hit the ground five or six times to have complete deliverance. But because you only hit it three times, your victories are going to be limited. You're going to only have three victories and after that. And it said he was wroth. I want to ask you a question tonight. If the Lord were to evaluate our lives and to the degree by which we are taking the arrows of deliverance, the degree by which we're taking the gospel, the degree by which we're taking the word of the Lord and applying it to our lives and being willing to go with all of our hearts, would you be categorized as somebody that's just hit it three times and stopped? You see, this struck me about this story. In fact, this past week I was thinking about that story some more, and this is what I really noticed. All the way up until he told him to hit the ground with the arrows, he gave him specific instruction, and there wasn't a lot of two ways about it. He said, pick up the bow and your arrow. Well, there's only a couple ways you can pick your bow and arrow up. So he picked his bow and arrow up. And then he said, put your hand on your bow. So he put his hand on the bow. And then he said, open the window and shoot eastward. So he opened the window and he let go. And he said, but listen to what he said next. Now, take your arrows and you smite the ground with it. Okay, well, up until this point, he had done just exactly like he was told. But then came the point where now he got to make a decision on how he was going to hit the ground. The Lord gives us some specific instruction on what it means to be a Christian. Here's the word of the Lord. Here's what I want from you. Here's what holiness and righteousness looks like. Here's what it means to live for me. Now, here, you do something with it now. You do something. Here, it's yours now. I've given you the direction. I've told you what to do. Now, what are you doing with it? Are you just taking it and just doing the bare minimum? You know what really stirs my soul is when I start hearing people say, well, it's not wrong. I mean, I don't know of just an exact scripture that tells me that I can't look at that or listen to that or go this place or wear this thing. You give me a scripture that tells me I can't do that just exactly like that. That starts to stir something in me. Start thinking of Joash, where they're starting to look and say, well, I picked the bow up. He said, I opened the window eastward. I mean, that's what it said. I shot. I mean, that's what the Bible said. So why? What's the problem? What's wrong? Can you show me a scripture? The Lord wants to know how we are going to take the gospel, to what extent we are going to give Him our heart and our life. That's up to us. It's a free will. He isn't going to force you. He isn't going to say, okay, here's to the degree of urgency that I'm going to make you live for me. That's your decision. But don't forget this. He said the man of God was wroth when he only did it three times, because it limited him. He was just hurting himself. We hurt ourselves, saints. We do damage. We limit our victories. We limit our fulfillment when we're trying to figure out how we can hang out in the shallow water and kind of just technically sort of do what's right, and no one can actually tell me and just prove to me that I'm doing wrong. And we live our lives that way, and then we wonder why our victories are limited. We wonder, well, somehow this isn't working like I thought it should have worked. I mean, they said this was a wonderful way of life. Well, why don't you hit the ground harder? Why don't you hit it a few more times? Why don't you launch out into the deep? Why don't you get out of the kiddie pool? Get out of the wading pool. Go out into the deep. Forsake that. I live in Louisiana and drive that I-20 corridor. And there's casinos. And I don't know exactly what all the ordinances are now, but I've looked into it a little bit, and I know this, that you drive by Vicksburg, and then you go through Shreveport, a couple hundred miles down the road, maybe not quite. And then there's another casino, and there are these boats that are in the water. And then there's these grand hotels that are on the land, and parking structures and restaurants. And you look at that and you go, what sense does that make? Do they just like boats? Why are the casinos in the boats, and then there's these grand hotels? And what's the reason for that? Well, one of the reasons, one of the places where they started, was because used to be that people frowned on gambling. even the world. And they said, we're not going to have any gambling halls in our area, in our city. We've outlawed those. You can't do that. He said, all right, well, we'll put them in the waters where you don't have jurisdiction. And then we're technically following the law. See? Now we're not doing anything technically wrong. But you look at that, and they're pushed up against the shore, and the infrastructure that supports them are all on land. Parking structures, the hotels, the restaurants. You go, that doesn't even make any sense. They might as well just be on the land. And I wonder sometimes if we gamble with our own lives, if we're gambling spiritually with our souls, because we're trying to figure out exactly how we can say that technically we're not breaking any laws, but we're sucked up so tight to the way of the world and to what it has to offer and the infrastructure of the world, and we enjoy the things that the world enjoys up there on the land. But oh, if somebody comes along, we can say, hey, there's no verse that tells me I can't do this. I mean, there's nothing illegal about this. Show me a verse. You know? And they live their lives like that in shallow water. Wasn't it Paul that said, know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize? You run as if... Run like that. If all of us went outside and had a foot race, there'd only be one person who won. And if our lives depended on it, some of us would be in trouble. But if our lives depended on who won the race out there, there's just going to be one first place. And if someone said, lined us up with a gun and said, everybody that loses, you're going to lose your life, I'll guarantee you there'd be some people giving it all they had out there, because just one person's going to win. You're running for your life tonight. Why would we take chances? We spend way too much time sometimes trying to defend, I'm going to say it this way, defend standards that we hold. They're under attack. Holiness standards, the things that we choose not to do, and things that we choose to do. Say, well, that's not necessary. Well, that isn't necessary. Listen, I'm not interested in gambling with my soul. I'm not interested in seeing how close to the world I can get and still be able to put somebody in a spot where they can't technically tell me that I'm doing something illegal against the word of the Lord. Not interested in that. I want to live my life as if there's just one person that's going to win the race and they're the only one that's going to make it into heaven. Thankful it's not like that. But I want to run like that. The Lord wants you to run like that. And if you don't run like that, the Lord isn't going to be happy. He said the man of God was wroth. I think there's a lesson in that for us. The Lord is looking for full commitment from us. He's looking for full commitment from you. He wants you to take those arrows and hit that ground just as hard as you can and as many times as you can. And when you get tired, you ask for more strength to keep on hitting the ground. He wants you to be willing to launch out into the deep. Forsake that foolishness that goes on in the shallow waters with everybody milling around trying to figure out how they can have one foot in and one foot out. That's not where happiness is. It's not where fulfillment is. It's not where the Lord is. He comes to try to get you out of there. He's there that way. Where are you tonight? Where are you operating? If you were to, please ask yourself this question, everyone that's here, where would you be if the Lord came by and he looked you in the eye and said, I know thy works. I know them. Would he look at me and think, there's Rod, He hangs out and he likes the waist-deep water. I know your works. You're scared to go out any further. I know you dabble around with your toes and you're in and out all the time. Nobody knows whether you're going to be in or out of the shallow water. Oh, yeah, that's one of my dependable servants. Boy, she's out in the deep water. The one that's satisfied? Yeah, that's the deep water. Where would you be? It's a question worth answering. Because this is real life. We are running for our lives. You're running for your life. This is serious. You see, we are indeed going to have to stand before the Lord, and we're going to give an account of where we hung out. And there's going to be none of this back and forth when we meet the Lord. Lord, there really wasn't technically a verse that you told me I couldn't exactly do that. He's just, I know you. I know your heart. It's serious. And eternity is a long time. That's the reason why Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man seeking, what did he say about the pearls? Yes. And what did it say that the man did? He had to go and he sold all of his pearls so that he could buy the pearl of great price. And I noticed that it didn't say he had to go and turn in all three of his rocks and then got a great pearl back. Or he went and turned in all the old recycled cans he had in the garage and then he got the pearl of great price. It said he turned in pearls. All of his pearls. Plural. There were things valuable to the man. He looked at him and, yeah, there's some sacrifice. There is some sacrifice living for the Lord. There are some things that are valuable to you that you're going to have to be willing to turn in. But you know what? The pearl of great price that he got was worth way more than all the pearls he turned in. It's like, Lord gave me this a long time ago. It's like, give me your bag of pennies or empty it out so I can give you some silver dollars to replace it. And we hold on to our pennies. Like, I don't want to let go of my pennies. It's like, would you please just dump your pennies out? Yes, you're giving up your pennies. And they're valuable to you because that's what you have. But I have silver dollars. And so how many people, they're just holding on to it and they're trying to figure out how they can keep all their pennies. And the Lord said, I'm not going to force you. Another one said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man seeking goodly treasure. And he found the field that had a hidden treasure in it. And you know what it said? It said, with joy he went and he sold everything he had so that he could go buy the field that had a great treasure in it. And I can see him walking by the field and he recognized there's a treasure in there that's valuable. And there's a for sale sign out front. I wonder if I can afford it. Probably not. Probably no way I can afford that. And he looks at the for sale sign for the price. And the price says, all that you have. I can afford it. It doesn't matter how much I have. It just says all that I have. And what's in the field is worth so much more than what I have. What a great deal. The Lord, He's not asking for our all so that He can exact some sort of, we've got to earn part of our way into heaven. We're going to have to pay our fair share. We can't even come close to paying your way into heaven. You can't do enough good works to justify the Lord letting you in. I'd be ashamed to try to gather together my little bag of rocks and say, this is what I did, Lord. Well, what will this buy me? I'm glad I don't have to. The Lord asks us and He asks you to give your all so that He can give you more than what you have, and so that you don't end up spending your life cleaning the undesirables out of your life and the unexpected. He wants to give you the fullness of joy. He wants you to be committed. He wants you to be all in. He wants you to launch out into the deep. The deep. The deep water is a life that's removed from what the Scripture says, all that is in this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let's just read that. That's 1 John 2:15. This is important. This verse does mean something too. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This is one of those verses we preached the other night about, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with the truth? Some folks, I'm not sure what they're going to do with this. Pretty straight. Don't love the world. Don't love the things that are in the world. And he went on, he said, because if any man does love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That means something, right? Is the love of the Father in you? People say, well, the Lord knows my heart. He knows your heart, and He knows that's the reason why you have a history and a lifestyle of giving yourself to the things of the world. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Some people say, well, that's what I want. That's, religion is just not that important to me. I just don't find a lot of fulfillment in, you know, the Christian things, and, you know, I'm not really a church person. Ever heard that? It's good for some folks, but for me, it's just not really me. Well, I want to ask you this. How's it working out for you? Is it working out well? Are you content? And if you say that you are, how about people who have been down that road longer than you have? I haven't met very many old people that have lived in the shallow waters and on land that were real happy when they got at the end of the way. Their perspectives start changing. They start seeing things a little bit different. And there's a lot of regrets. The shoreline of self and sin is scattered with disappointed lives, shipwrecked lives, unhappiness, and you won't be an exception. You won't. Don't hang out in the plains. Didn't work well. Lot, he wasn't even in the plains. Lot started out with his tent pitched towards Sodom. Some people may say, well, you know, if Lot would have just stayed where he was, if he would have just stayed pitched towards Sodom, everything could have been okay. Maybe he would have saved himself some trouble. But do you remember that when the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, do you know what else He destroyed? Remember? He destroyed the plains too. People say, well, that's not fair. Why would you destroy the plains? It was in the city where everything was going wrong. Well, why would you want to be in the plains if all that wrong was going on in the city? And people wonder why we want to be so careful in how we live our lives. And why we hold standards of holiness that we hold. And why we say, we don't want to bring those evil things in our house and set before our eyes. And we don't want to look like the world. And we don't want to go where the world congregates and where they draw their enjoyment. If those things aren't the things of the world, I don't know what is. You tell me. I don't want to partake of those things. I want to give my life to the Lord. Why would I hang out in the plains if all of those things are wrong? We hold standards that we do because I want to put a buffer. I want to get as far away. I want to hit the ground more than 3 times. How about that? Someone said, well, I don't have to do that. You said hit the ground. I hit the ground. Ought to be okay. Listen, it's between me and the Lord and you and the Lord, but I want to tell you something. The Lord has been faithful to us through the years to give us spiritual people that have gone the way before we have to say, listen, here's a safe place to operate. There's a reason why they put warning tracks on baseball fields. They don't hit the wall as soon as they hit the warning track. They're saying, listen, you start hearing a different noise under your feet when you're running to catch a ball. You need to understand you're getting close to hurting yourself. You better be real careful. Someone could say, well, there's no need for that. There's nothing wrong with being in the warning track. I mean, that's fair play. Yeah, you play out there long enough and eventually you're going to hit the wall. So what do? We say, well, Lord, what would you want of me? How do you want me to live? How should I live my life? What is righteousness and holiness? And the Lord begins to teach us in His Word that it is a way of self-denial. It is a way that's separate from the world. Not because He's trying to make life hard, it's because He's trying to help us. And when I read that, I say, thank you, Lord. I want to stay away from that. I don't want to build my house on the cliff and right on the edge when I've got all these acres and say, well, it's my property. I mean, I can build my house there. There's nothing wrong with it. Technically, yeah, but one of these days you're going to walk out your door and drop about 1,000 feet and that'll be the end of it. Might as well build your house back a ways where you can be free to live. And you can be happy. Don't you want to launch out into the deep? Why would you want to hang out in the shallow water? That's not where I want to hang out. I want to be willing to listen to the voice of the Lord, and I want to go. The devil does not like you moving to the deep waters. The enemy, this is the little vision I got in mind. You know, when you go out to a lake, sometimes you see these ropes that are pulled out to try to warn you. It's okay to play here, but don't go outside of these ropes. Danger out there. It's deep water. It's like the enemy likes to construct these ropes in our lives. And he says, boy, you go out on the other side of that. You try to get that spiritual. He threatens you with all manner of drownings. You're going to drown in disappointment. You're going to drown in lost relationships. You're going to drown in not being fulfilled. You're going to drown. It's just bad out there. The unknown. There's lots of things out there. He doesn't tell you that out there in the deep is where that man lives that walks on water. And that he's the one that's asking you to come out. And he also doesn't tell you that it's only in the deep water, I believe, where we can remain unspotted from the world. I am stirred deeply when I read verses that teach me that I must remain unspotted by the world. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter 3 and 14. I want you to hear these. It says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And in Jude, the 23rd verse says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, I can pull up next to the fire and that's what we do. We try to get as close to the fire as we can and get all the warmth that we can without getting burned. And that's okay, in a natural sense. But when we start trying to do that with our lives and the world and the things of the world, and we want to see just how close we can get to get all the benefit from it that we can and just not get burned, that's a dangerous place to be. Particularly because we just read where the Scripture says, don't be spotted. And I can just see somebody getting real close to the fire, and boy, they go away, they think they've figured it out. Somebody comes along and says, what is that on the back of your pants? What are you talking about? That's a black spot back there. Huh? What do you mean? Looks like it got burned. I don't know how that happened. Well, sure enough, got burned, didn't even know it. Spotted. Got too close. Or maybe you don't get too close and you get around people and they go, where you been? You smell like smoke. Well, I was kind of close to the fire. Maybe that did it. I don't want the smell of the world on my life. I don't want it. I don't want spots that I don't know anything about, but it was because of my own neglect, see? Neglect. And a lack of diligence. The scripture says be diligent. That means you have to think about it. You have to give yourself to making some careful decisions about where you're going. And so what we do as a body and as saints, we look where the Lord says, stay away from that. And we say, we don't want to be spotted by that. We're going to erect some standards. It's going to put some distance between us and that because we want to be diligent that we're found without spot. And you know what? We don't do it as a religious rite, R-I-T-E. It's not like there's a list of rules where we say, well, you got to wear this kind of clothes because that's the warning track start. So you got to do that. You got to check that off the list. And you can't listen to music that sounds like, and you can't watch this because it's, and then we get the list checked off. We go, okay, whew, I got those standards taken care of. I'll be okay. But man, these are sure, I don't like them, but at least now I'm safe. We do them because we want to do them. We do it because we don't want to live in the shallow waters. We hold these things not because there's a list of rules and it's a list of have-tos. We live this way because when you get the Lord in your heart and you want to live for Him and you truly have His Spirit in you, you're not trying to figure out how you can have 1 foot in and 1 foot out and in 3 feet of water sometimes and still try to tell everybody I'm saved and I'm in the water with you. And it's like, I don't want to be there. And I embrace safety and standards of safety and holiness standards because I want to meet the Lord in peace and I want to go where He goes. And you want to know where He goes? He goes away from the world. He doesn't run parallel with it. That'd be dangerous, wouldn't it? Because the world's going down all the time. I don't want to run parallel to it. I want to be running away from it. You run parallel with it, you'll stay in shallow waters, and that water will lead you way away from the deep water. And all the while, you're feeling a sense of security because, you know, your feet are damp. I've been in the water. Forget about trying to keep your hair dry. Forget about worrying about getting your pants wet. Forget about trying to roll your pant legs up and kind of sort of fit in. Just commit. Give yourself to it. The Lord is bidding us to come so that He can fulfill the desire that He put in your heart. You didn't put it there. He'll say, well, you don't understand what attracts me. You know what? You're right. I probably don't, but the Lord does because He's the one that made you like you are. And He designed it so that you would have a longing for something. And He designed it so that He would be the answer. It's just that He wants you to make the decision to come to Him to let Him fulfill it. And it's like that for every single person. I want to go out into the deep. I don't want to play in the shallow waters. I don't want to hang out in the areas that's dangerous. I want to be committed. I want that no-so salvation. Do you have a no-so salvation? Brother Samage used to preach about that all the time. You know, growing up, I can still hear him at Monarch, you know, with his raspy voice talking about a no-so salvation. I used to listen to that. I wanted a no-so salvation. I didn't like that not sure salvation. That's uncomfortable. You want a no-so salvation? Do you have one tonight? You have a no-so salvation? Can you say with the surety that the Spirit's leading you and that you are living everything that you know? Have you given up all? The Lord is bidding us to come. Some people may say, look, I've tried it before. I've tried it and I mean, preacher, it sounds good. You know, sounds good from the pulpit. I mean, you can say anything when you're sitting in a congregation and you're in pews, you know, and it's real easy to talk, but I've tried it, preacher, and look, it just doesn't work for me. I tried to go out in the deep waters and it didn't work. But I want to ask you this question. Did you go living to qualify, or did you go with the purpose to please? Because there's a difference. Lord gave me a message one time on that. Live to please, not qualify. You just trying to qualify? That's no fun. Live to please. Were you living to please when it didn't work out? Maybe you tried to go out and started looking at the waves. You got scared and came back. The Lord's in control of the waves. You know what the other one is? Sometimes we try to go out into the deep waters, but we don't pull all of our anchors out of the shallow water. We want to live for the Lord. We want to do what's right. And we go, oh, we want to get deep in the Lord, but then it just doesn't work. And the reason is because there's maybe just a thing or two we just weren't willing to give up. And so it was holding us back. So we said, Lord, I'm going to go into the deep waters. And we started to go out in the deep waters. And we always just seemed like we never could get there. And it's because we were never willing to totally, completely just pull anchor and say, I'm in. I'm going to pull everything up so there's no ropes over the side of the boat. I'm going to do a check. I'm going to make sure there's nothing hanging over. And I am going to launch into the deep with the Master. That's where the victories are. And that's where the Lord wants us. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. It wasn't only filled, but it was abundantly filled. Step out. Let down your nets in the deep. And I want to tell you tonight, folks, wherever you are, the sinner, the neglector, the backslider, the Christian, the Lord wants to fulfill you in ways you've never been fulfilled before. I believe it. Because I've experienced some of it. Got a ways to go. But that's where I want to be headed. That's why. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. What are you following tonight? Are you following yourself? Are you following your own theory of what spirituality is? Your own definitions? The Word of the Lord, He just is, and it is, and it doesn't change. You can do whatever you want. The truth is truth. What are you following? Are you following the truth, or are you following your version of truth? Because it doesn't work very well. What are you following? Tonight, there's a song that says, and maybe we could sing that song. It says, I surrender all. Lord, I'm willing tonight. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to pull up anchor. I'm willing to forsake the partial in, partial out experience. I'm willing to stop fooling around and messing around in the shallow waters. I'm going for the deep waters. Where are you tonight? God help each one of us to pull anchor, and with His presence, let's launch out into the deep waters, because that's where He is and that is where the peace can be found. Amen.